This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. People across the U.S. that were hoping to get some student loan relief were dealt a devastating blow recently. The U.S. Supreme Court overturned a measure to expunge $10,000 in debt per qualifying student. Now Governor Gretchen Whitmer is weighing in. Here with me to break it all down is Alyssa McMurtry of Gongwer. Alyssa, welcome back to Mishmash.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
Let's start with where things currently stand on student loan forgiveness on a national level. Where are we at? And just to note for our listeners, we're recording this on Friday, July 14th.
This morning, actually, it was announced by the U.S. Department of Education that approximately 800,000, a little more than 800,000 borrowers who have been paying back their loans through an income-driven repayment plan for about 20 to 25 years would have the rest of those loans forgiven. So obviously, we know that on June 30th, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down Joe Biden's plan to forgive about $10,000 in debt for eligible Americans, about $20,000 for Pell Grant borrowers. And that would have affected about 43 million federal student loan borrowers. That plan was struck down that day. Joe Biden said, you know, we're going to go back to the drawing board, and the U.S. Department of Education is going to find different avenues to help those students who have such an enormous amount of debt. And it looks like we're kind of seeing that slowly. We're seeing different groups receiving that loan forgiveness, receiving that debt forgiveness. But obviously, you know, it's not the exact plan that he wanted, and it's not that widespread impact he was looking for.
What are some of the potential plans or ideas that you're hearing on a statewide level when it comes to student loan relief?
So I haven't heard too much on the statewide level. What I have heard over the last year or so is, you know, more so departments focusing on offering either reduced or free tuition to kind of encourage those certain careers that are typically facing staffing shortages that maybe aren't attracting as many people as they used to. So we typically hear this a lot about teachers and also nurses, about kind of helping them either pay some of their loans or, you know, get into school with some type of grant program. But as far as the state of Michigan goes, the departments don't typically, you know, help people forgive their loan repayments. You know, they have a lot of links on their website to help people, you know, kind of direct them where they can get that loan forgiveness, how they could become eligible. But the State Departments themselves aren't really, you know, they don't really forgive loans. They don't give out loans, which I think is why, you know, we're not seeing that loan forgiveness like, you know, maybe a lot of people would hope.
Yeah, I've been interested to see sort of what the statewide reaction is going to be to all this, because we're talking about federal dollars, federal loans, I mean, and what it is that they could possibly even do for any sort of student loan relief. And it sounds like not a whole lot.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. So it seems like they're, you know, they can't necessarily help too many people with the student loan forgiveness. So they're, I guess, trying to jump ahead of that and offer people some free tuition where they can.
You wrote before the Supreme Court ruling that the Department of Insurance and Financial Services will work with Treasury to assess current outreach strategies to new and existing borrowers. What is the current status of this, and sort of what are they thinking there?
Right. So it seems like they're probably still doing a lot of that outreach and research. I haven't seen too much change on the status of that. I think especially with DIFs, with the Michigan Supreme Court, its decision regarding those no-fault cases and how, you know, whether or not that 2019 law will retroactively affect them. I think they've been a little more focused on that. So we might see, you know, some updates after that decision comes out. But as it currently stands right now, it seems like they are just doing the research where they can, putting out the feelers where they can. And hopefully we'll have an update soon on, you know, what people can do at the state level.
We've been mostly talking about the Democrats and their reaction. How have the Republicans been reacting to all of this about student debt relief?
Right. So the Republicans obviously have not been too keen on that student loan forgiveness, that student debt relief. I think their mindset is more so, you know, you chose to go to college, you should be able to pay back those loans. So they haven't obviously been too excited about the idea of Joe Biden's plan. I know a lot of them were against it. And a lot of them were definitely in support of the Supreme Court's decision. You know, Joe Biden's plan, President Joe Biden's plan, it felt like too much of an overreach for them. It felt like the government was doing too much and it was asking too much of taxpayers. And so they, you know, they're not exactly looking for ways to help students repay their loans. That being said, you know, that could change. There has been a little bit of talk from some Republicans about, you know, is there something that we can do to help these students? But obviously they are not completely on board with President Biden's plan, that which, you know, has now been struck down. So I guess they're happy, maybe? I don't know.
Let's move on to some election news. There was some movement in the 7th district recently. It's currently held by Alyssa Slotkin, but she won't be running for re-election in 2024. What's the latest there?
So on Sunday, Alyssa Slotkin, U.S. Rep. Alyssa Slotkin's Republican competitor for the 2022 midterms, former state senator Tom Barrett, announced that he was running again for that seat. That was kind of known that that was going to happen. It seemed like Republicans had kind of cleared the way. I know that the national Republicans really liked Tom Barrett. The state Republicans seemed to, you know, enjoy his presence as well. So, it, you know, that wasn't very surprising that he was going to announce. And then on Monday, former state senator Curtis Sertel announced that he was running for the Democratic nomination. So it seems like we have it set up. We haven't seen any other competitors. That can obviously change. But it seems like it's going to be a head-to-head of the former state senators for that open seat. It's absolutely going to be extremely competitive. In 2022, it was one of the most expensive races in the country. We're probably going to see that again. And it looks like this is most likely going to be the U.S. House race to watch.
Yeah, talk to me more about that, because like you mentioned, in 2022, it was one of the most expensive races in the country. How are the candidates and the parties in general gearing up for that? And talk to me about what they're expecting for this race again.
You know, I think they knew in, you know, 2022, whether they won the seat or lost the seat, that, you know, when it came back to the drawing board in 2024, this was going to be another competitive race. You know, the 7th congressional district, what it appears is that it's one of, if not the last, truly toss-up district in the state. It could go either way. It could go blue one term and then go red the next term. So this is a seat that they really want and they really want to fight for, because it could change the tide of the U.S. House. It could change the tide of the congressional delegates from the state. But, you know, we've seen them put out statements, at least the national Republicans, we've seen them kind of go after certain candidates. I'm sure after the primary, after all the dust has settled, maybe even a little bit before, we'll kind of start to see those more formal statements of support. I know the DCC, the DCCC tends to stick out of primaries when it comes to endorsing people. They don't really like to endorse people in primaries. But if, you know, if nobody else comes to challenge Curtis Sertel, that support may come sooner. But we definitely know that, you know, when this race starts to heat up, just like the last time around, there's going to be a lot of national push to get their candidates elected.
I know 2024 feels like a long ways away, but it's really not. What other races have started to spark your interest? Where are we seeing movement?
Right. Well, I think probably the one that a lot of people are starting to pay attention to is the U.S. Senate races. Obviously, Alyssa Slotkin, she's not running for re-election in the 7th. She's running for the Democratic nomination for the U.S. Senate seat. And she's kind of she's almost been, I don't want to say selected or anointed, but in a way, it kind of feels like that as the top pick for the Democrats. But obviously, that's not to say that, you know, everybody said, okay, we're not going to run. There's been movement from the Democrats. It seems like from all over the state, we have a former state rep, Leslie Love, from Detroit. She's running. We also have the State Board of Education president, Pamela Pugh, running for that seat. And then now we have Harper Hill, who was, oh, Hill Harper, excuse me, Hill Harper, who is known for The Good Doctor. I think he was also on CSI in New York. But he also served on former President Barack Obama's cancer panel in 2011. So he has a little bit of some activism in his background. He's also an author, but he definitely has the stage presence of a candidate. I was just at a campaign event for him where he announced, you know, his launch for the U.S. Senate seat. And, you know, a lot of people came out, and it was in Detroit, and, you know, there was music, there was a band and everything. So he's definitely coming out with all of the stops early on. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that shapes up, if people are going to go with, you know, the almost pre-selected choice of Representative Alyssa Slotkin, or if they're going to maybe explore their other options. There's also the attorney, Baydoun, out in, I believe, I'm just going to say the Metro Detroit area because I don't know where exactly he's from, but he is in the Metro Detroit area, and he is also, you know, running for this seat as well. So it'll be interesting. As far as the Republicans, we're seeing a little bit of movement. I think there's about three in the race right now, one of them also being a State Board of Education member, Nikki Snyder. So I think it'll be interesting to see who decides to run for that open seat.
Finally, I want to touch on a really interesting article that you had recently, Teacher Prep Candidates of Color More Likely to Drop PrEP Programs. What's going on there?
The State Board of Education at their monthly meetings has kind of been touching on, you know, the lack of diversity within the teacher career field. It's not necessarily reflective of the students. You know, we have more white teachers than we do white students. And, you know, so much of these meetings and these presentations centers around how important it is that students see themselves reflected in their teachers. It just meshes better. It creates a community vibe, especially for students who their English isn't their first language. If they have a teacher who does speak their language, it, you know, obviously helps their learning in the long run immensely. But, you know, what we're seeing for these teacher prep programs is that, you know, the problem that teachers face all across the country, it's very expensive to become a teacher, but, you know, the pay isn't necessarily there to help you, you know, pay back the loans maybe you have, or to, you know, really encourage you to want to enter this field that did cost you quite a bit of money to get into. So I think for students of color, especially when you have so many barriers to overcome, you know, if the money's not there, you're going to say, you know what, I don't think this is, maybe this isn't for me. I'm going to drop out now, save myself what I can, and look for a different career path where I am going to see that return on investment. So I think what the State Board of Education and the Michigan Department of Education as a whole is probably going to continue to look into is, you know, how do we convince these students of color to continue their education and become teachers of color to help our entire state population. So like I said, that's probably going to be looking at some of the options that they had thrown around. I think the research group that had done it, they had thrown around the idea of maybe offering free testing or testing vouchers for those teacher examinations, and offering teacher prep classes for those examinations, almost like an ACT prep course. So that way, when they do make it to that round, when they do make it to the point where they're testing, you know, they're not going to drop out because they didn't do as well, or they're not discouraged because of the final results.
Alyssa McMurtry is a reporter for Gong War. Alyssa, it is always a pleasure to have you here on Mishmash.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
That's it for us today. Thanks again to Alyssa McMurtry from Gong War for joining us. Always wonderful to have her. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and the man who always, always, always has a backup plan, Hearns Laguerre Jr. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, with additional help from Jack Philbrandt. As always, if you listen to this podcast and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review, or if you really, really like this show, and we really, really hope you do, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give. Without your support, this show and the many other great programs from WDET just would not be possible. Again, that's wdet.org/give. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.